This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Advertisers started to worry when the DVR was invented. You know, it lets people fast forward through parts of the TV show they didn't want to see, and that usually means the commercials. Advertisers thought that their expensive ads would be for naught. But as it turns out, the opposite might be true. New research from the Duke Fuqua School of Business shows that the less you pay attention to commercials, the more influential they are. And that includes when you're fast-forwarding past them to get back to your favorite show. Joining us now to talk about this is Gavin Fitzsimmons, a professor in the School of Business. Welcome, Gavin.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us about this. What's the takeaway from this study?
Well, the big takeaway is that when you're sitting in front of your television and you're fast-forwarding to get through those ads to the next program, you know, next section of program, you're not simply fast-forwarding. You're staring at a screen, and if you can sort of, it's hard to visualize this and say it, but as the screen goes by, it's going doo-doo, and then you see a brand pop up for a split second, and then doo-doo, and another brand pop up for a split second. At the end of that block, you're then press play and you settle back into your chair. In the old days, we would get up, go to the restroom, grab a snack, and just miss that entire thing. Now we stare right at the middle of the TV screen and fast forward. Because we're staring at something and it's going really fast, we don't think that anything's happening. Our defensive screens are down. No one's trying to persuade me as I'm fast forwarding to the next section. But in fact, we've been finding over and over again that these, we call them brief brand exposures, are incredibly powerful and actually in many ways can have bigger impacts on us than watching at regular speed because our defenses are down and we're not defending against the influence.
So how do you know? What do you, when you talk about influence, how do you measure that?
Well, we measure in lots of different ways, but one of the sort of the most powerful ways is to see if people will actually make brand choices differently after they've been exposed to these fast-forwarded messages. So we'll, you know, fast-forward past an advertisement for a candy bar, and all you see is the logo for the candy bar, fast-forward past another. Then you watch a little more program at the end of the session. We say, thanks so much for coming in. We'd love to give you a little reward. Here's a series of candy bars. Feel free to pick one. And what we find is if you fast-forwarded by that candy bar, versus a different, you know, advertisement, you're much more likely to pick that candy bar and actually select it and choose it than you would otherwise have been.
What got you interested in this?
I think largely, you know, we were we've always been interested in things that occur outside our conscious awareness, and more, you know, psychologists and consumer psychologists in particular have been really interested in how many. You know, we get exposed, for example, to 3,000 to 10,000 brand exposures in a day. That's a lot. So many brand exposures that we can't possibly attend consciously to all of them. So they're sort of, you're walking past somebody on the street, they've got a coffee, you sort of notice them, you maybe notice the coffee, you don't notice the brand. But that's hitting our radar at some level. And, you know, we had all this evidence that things were influencing us outside our awareness in other areas. And we started thinking, well, maybe these brands are having this impact on us and maybe they're changing our behavior. And then one day, I think we were, my wife and I were sitting watching TV and I looked over as she was fast forwarding past the ad block and it just hit me. I'm like, oh, wow, this is one of those moments. She's not defending against
right.
this. And it's boom, 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 back to back brand exposures. And boy, that could be powerful.
Because one of the interesting things is in commercials, there is some kind, there's a message attached to the brand. It's not just a picture of the brand, right? Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that you think that we're not then paying attention to or absorbing the storyline. We're just exposed to the brand.
Yeah. You know, the brand, the storyline becomes almost inconsequential unless, you know, there's a flash of a smiling person or a pretty blue sky. But the storyline in the ad itself gets glossed over and all we get is the brand logo. But if you had seen previous versions of that ad or even years ago ads for that product, that built a set of associations with the brand. So, you know, when I think of Diet Coke, I think of happy and smiley and those white and red colors. And that's been built for me over many, many years. So now when I see the Diet Coke logo, all of those associations get activated. So what we find is these brief brand exposures are really powerful for brands that have been around for a while, for which most consumers have a strong set of associations. If it's a brand new brand I've never heard of, these things aren't going to do a heck of a lot.
I've been wondering about this because, you know, you go up on YouTube and they say you can skip this commercial in 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, that's pretty clever. They make me stare at that screen for 4 seconds because I have to watch. I have to be vigilant and I'm going to be right on. I don't want to watch this commercial any longer than I have to.
Yeah.
I'm really paying attention, at least to the time, if not to the message.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that, you know, that any time that you're focusing on the visual and perhaps not the message, that's when you get this real powerful impact. So, you know, find the same thing in a product placement context where, you know, you're watching your favorite character on your favorite sitcom and they pan past Jerry Seinfeld and you look behind Jerry and on the kitchen counter back there are a series of products. You don't really notice them at all. It just looks like Jerry's kitchen, but boom, you've just been exposed to that brand. The positive associations with the brand, and that's affecting you. And the next time there's an opportunity to grab some of that, you might just do so.
So any suggestion then that advertisers can take advantage of this research and create commercials that are designed to be fast-forwarded through?
Yeah, well, one of the things that clearly you want to do is if you were an advertiser, is you would want to make sure you had a prominent brand logo pop up. You know, in the old days, I remember when I was a kid growing up, all the automobile ads at the end had the Ford logo or the GM logo would come at the end for a second and stay there. That sort of faded away in popularity. I think we're going to see it start to pop back up because it's that pop that hopefully activates those associations for consumers.
You also found out that there's a kind of an inverse relationship between commercials that are well suited to the theme of the show. So an action show might have a high energy commercial, and you're saying that now with this research, you might want to do the opposite.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Historically, people have thought that we should have essentially a thematic match between a program and an ad. So if you've got an exciting brand, you know, you're advertising the Hummer SUV, you would place that in a program that's really exciting. The two would match up. Exciting program, exciting ad. We find that in this new fast-forward world, it's actually the exact opposite that leads to the biggest impact. Placing an ad for a Hummer automobile in a very sincere, sort of family-oriented type program, when you fast-forward past that Hummer ad, it pops really quickly. You know it's exciting. And now the contrast with the sincere family program makes the Hummer seem really exciting and really stick out. And as a function of that, it really seems exciting. So if you are in the market for an exciting car now, boy, Hummer feels super exciting to you.
You still have to, I guess, if you're an advertiser, pay attention to a program that might be marketed for a 20-something audience. You still don't want to put your Metamucil ad in that.
Correct. The viewer actually has to have some interest in purchasing this automobile, right, or there's no hope for you.
Although, what is more lovely than the Metamucil? I mean, it's beautiful. The bucolic background. It's a gorgeous piece of work. So now, what's interesting to me, and I'm not sure this is in the scope of your work yet, but what would this kind of effect? Would this have the same effect for people who aren't as used to and exposed to advertising as we are? I mean, we've cultivated a mind that understands how to handle advertising. What if you didn't? What if you hadn't been exposed to this?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. Over the years, as I've become more interested in this, I've looked across cultures to try to find cultures that are, you know, less exposed to current advertising type approaches. It's almost impossible nowadays. You really have to go way, 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 way off the beaten path to find anybody. The closest we can come is children. And it used to be that children didn't develop these defensive mechanisms until they were 8, 9 years old. Today we're finding that kids at 3 and 4 are skeptical that, you know, this advertiser is attempting to get them to come into their shop already. So there's a shrinking pile of people in the world that actually don't have this defensive screen. If you were able to find them, you know, I think that you find that that these kinds of effects could potentially be more powerful. Again, the tricky bit is they have to have built up the positive associations with the brand for a brand exposure to have an impact.
So at some point you will have internalized a story about the brand
exactly.
for that logo to make the association that this makes me happy.
Exactly.
And if it didn't even make me happy, I was happy watching your commercial.
Exactly. And it need not be an advertisement that builds those associations, right? It could be that I've tried that product before. I really like it. It's lovely. My mom gave it to me as a kid. I have that positive association. So these associations can come from other people, from life experiences, not just from advertising, but they have to be there for these brief exposures to have any kind of meaningful impact on us.
Gavin, great work. Always good to talk with you.
Thanks, Frank.
Gavin Fitzsimmons is a professor at the Duke Fuqua School of Business. Just ahead, a new book that chronicles the journey of an international aid worker. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.